Let's turn over in our Bibles tonight to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. I still don't think I'll get completely finished with this tonight. I just want to try to get out one thought tonight here in these series of thoughts. And Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 9. Jeremiah said, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth." He said, "The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, God, for the wonderful song service. Lord, we may be down a little bit in number tonight, but the Spirit of God sure is sweet. And I pray, Lord, tonight for a touch from heaven. Lord, this might be someone's night to get saved. I just pray, God, you'd have your way in the service. I pray, Lord, with the disciples, Lord, as they walked with you, as they watched you, as they listened to you, Lord, they ask for two things that I can see in the Bible. They ask you, Lord, to increase their faith. God, we sure do need that. Then, Lord, they ask you to teach them to pray. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Lord, would you help us, our Father, to be more consistent, to be more persistent in prayer? Father, would you just take the message now and use it for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Not even going to review all that went on this morning, but we talked about, just in introducing the message, that the pleasant place of the heart, that's an important place to remain pleasant. The pleasant place of the home, that's an important place that God wants it to remain a pleasant place and not dry up on the Lord. And then the pleasant place of the house of God. That's where we picked up this morning in the series of messages. And we tried to just introduce the message a little bit this morning. And God said, "I will pour water on him that's thirsty." And I tell you, I can remember how refreshing it was to go to my grandmother's years ago, and there was a spring that ran out of the side of the mountain, and they had two things up there, and it didn't matter to me which one I used. One of them was an aluminum dipper, and the other one was a gourd. And you could dip that thing down in that spring water, and I'm telling you, it almost tastes like it had sugar in it. That water was sweet, and it was good. I tell you, every once in a while, the God of glory dumps out a little drink in my soul. It just seems like it's got some sugar in it. Amen. It just seems like it, like one old boy said, gets tweeter and tweeter as you go along. Amen. And I think that's a wonderful thing tonight, when the house of God is a pleasant place and God is helping us to remain that way for His honor and His glory. We saw where that Jesus and all of these scriptures in Isaiah and Mark and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talked about his house being a house of prayer, and that he had to go into that place, and there was a den of thieves. He said, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves." And there was some things that needed to be driven out of the house of God. Amen. I don't know about you tonight. Maybe you won't admit this, but I'll say this as your pastor: there's still some things that need to be driven out of my life, that I might be all that I can be for the glory of God Almighty. I believe, if I'm honest and laying on my deathbed, that He'll still be working on me, amen, until I breathe my last breath. I believe He'll be working on us as individuals. I believe He'll be working on us corporately as a church. Amen. Now, what I want to look at tonight, I got five things, and I know I'm not going to get to them tonight. I'm probably just going to camp on this one for just a few minutes. You've been so kind to come back. It's a holiday weekend. A lot of places you could be and a lot of things you could be doing. And I'm not holding that against anybody that is taking a break. I'm just saying thank you for being here tonight. And I pray God will feed you something for your soul tonight. I want to talk about five things. I'm going to give them to you real quickly, but not all of them tonight. Prayer in the fire, prayer in fellowship, prayer in forgiveness, prayer and faith, and prayer and the field. These are the things that the Lord, as I looked at these texts in Isaiah and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, these are the things the Lord has spoke to my heart about concerning prayer. You remember over in I believe it's the book of James. I'm not exactly sure, but I believe it's James where it talked about Elijah and talked about he prayed and God shut up the heavens. And he prayed again and it rained. Amen. And the Word of God said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many knows that we'd pray more if we really believed that more? I remember looking at a title one time to a book. Now think about this for just a moment. The title said a lot. It smote my heart. Here's what the title of the book was. The Atheism of Prayerlessness. The Atheism of Prayerlessness. There's not a one of us in this building tonight would stand and say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Amen. I don't believe there is. I feel sorry for you if you ever do come to that conclusion. But really, sometimes our actions might say, amen. Well, if we're not praying and believing God, then there is an atheism about prayerlessness in our life. I want to go, if you will, over in the Bible to 1 Kings tonight. And I want you to see some things tonight. We'll get back over to these passages in Matthew and all that. But I want you to see something tonight. Prayer and the fire. 1 Kings chapter number 18 tonight. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. But it was an illustration of what God wanted us to see about the house of God being a pleasant place. How many knows that the fire represents power? And the fire represents purity. The fire is a purifying agent. Amen. And the Word of God said here in verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Watch this now. I'm going somewhere. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. I believe that Elijah believed that he was the only one left. But we know according to the Scripture, he wasn't the only one left. Amen. Can I tell you one thing the enemy will do? He'll come along where you live and where I live and try to make us believe we're the only one left. We're not the only one left. God's got a remnant, and He always will have a remnant that will stand on the truths of the Word of God. Watch this now. He said, let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. And then the Word of God said here, and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. He said, I will dress the other bullock. And he said here, and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And then the Bible said, and call you on the name of your gods. Little g with an S on the end of it. He said, y'all call on the name of your gods, your little G-O-D-S's. Amen. By the way, the world's full of them even today. Amen. A whole lot of little G-O-D-S's. And the Word of God said, I will call on the name of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And the God that answers by fire let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. I want you to see something tonight. I'm not going to go into all this. I'll tell you a little bit about it, just in case you don't know that those prophets of Baal, they cut on themselves and they cried out and nothing happened. Amen. And Elijah kind of mocks them a little bit. He kind of says, you know, is your God on vacation? I wonder where he went. Amen. I wonder where he is now. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this to you and I. Beloved, this world sometimes will mock our God too. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. Beloved, listen to me. They will not have the last laugh. The God said in Proverbs chapter number 1, I will mock when their fear cometh, and I will laugh at their calamity. Amen. And here, Elijah's going on down. And Elijah, they get no results whatsoever. And so Elijah in verse 33, he said, put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, and laid on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Elijah didn't want there to be any doubt in their mind. He wanted them to know that maybe somebody hadn't sparked up a little something on the side. I mean, he wanted to sacrifice, drown the ditch full of water all around it. Watch what the Bible said. He said, on the wood, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. Now watch this. This, we're talking about the fire tonight. The pleasant place. When the power of God falls in the house of God. And God does in a moment of time what a man couldn't do in all the time that God gives him on this earth. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. By the way, God just spoke to my heart right there. I'm going to tell you what, there's a time. There's a time to be saved. There's a time for the fire to fall. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you, we've got a generation of people. You listen to them pray and they march into the throne room of God and command Him to do this and command Him to do that. The last time I looked, my friend, He's the captain of our salvation. And we're the soldiers of the cross. And it's the captain that gives the orders. My friend, it's not us ordering Him. The Bible said here, Bible said in verse number 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. I believe God wants to save somebody tonight. I believe it's time. You say, preacher, what do you mean God has a time? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Our beloved, we have no promise of tomorrow. Watch what the Word of God said here. And the Bible said that Elijah the prophet came near and said, I want you to listen carefully to this 63-word prayer. I counted it, Brother Brian, I think 4 times this morning. I got 62 once. I got 64 once. I got 63 twice. I'm going with 63. Amen. If you get in there and count it, and it's different, correct me after a while. Amen. The Bible said here, listen to this 63-word prayer. The Word of God said, He said here, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, he was talking to the right one, wasn't he? Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. My friend, listen to me carefully right here. Elijah's prayer was not to build Elijah up. Elijah's prayer was going on that God might reveal himself to those that were around him. I tell you, my friend, if we're praying, trying to get this church lifted up on a hill, God's not interested in that. But if we'd be praying that this people around us and our loved ones would know who the God of heaven is and God's power would fall, that might get the job done. My friend Elijah said, I want them to know. Watch this. He said, here, art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things. Watch this. Not because I thought it was something good to do, but at thy word. God was in command. God was in control. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. The Bible said, then
Hallelujah. The fire of God fell. Amen. I'm telling you what I'm trying to get us to see tonight is this is a pleasant place when the fire of God falls. Amen. And when conviction falls, the Word of God said, how long halt you between two opinions? If you're here tonight lost, either God's God or He's not. And if He's God, you better run to Him while you can. You don't have any promise of tomorrow. We better run to Him while we can. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. I'll tell you what I believe that day, Brother Rose. I believe a lot of people got off the fence. Amen. They was on the fence, teeter-tottering. And Elijah said, how long are you going to stay on the fence and halt between two opinions? Why don't you just get on one side or the other? And God let the fire fall. The man of God prayed. It's not how long we pray. The Word of God teaches us it's not vain repetition that gets a hold of the God of heaven. Amen. But my friend, it's who we're praying to and believing that He'll do what He said He would do. And the fire fell. Watch this now. And consumed the burnt sacrifice. He said, preacher, what does that mean? Well, what it means in the Old Testament economy is that God approves of what's going on. And I'm just going to say this to challenge us tonight. But if we go on and go on and go on and go on and the fire never falls and the power never falls, maybe God just don't approve of what's going on. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to pray tonight that God would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that somebody might see who He is, that somebody might trust Him. Jesus was on fire for the Lord. When Jesus cast them out, when Jesus thrust them out, when Jesus drove them out, I'm telling you, the fire was falling. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because God cleansed the temple, and then God got back to doing the business that God put the temple there to do in the first place. Amen. It wasn't there for a bunch of money exchangers to make money, for a bunch of people to rip off the people of God coming in buying sacrifices. It was a house of prayer. It was a house of worship. And God wanted them to worship Him. Let me give you this. Not only is the fire, Jesus was there, and the fire will cleanse. Amen. You remember the cleansing there in the temple. I can remember. Just as a youngin', there was a lot of things that we didn't have in the medicine cabinet. I can remember one time busting my knee wide open, and I was chasing somebody that hurt my brother, and I fell down in the chase, and my knee was full of gravels. And my daddy picked them gravels out with tweezers. He told Mama to go get some peroxide. Mama come out and said, we don't have any peroxide. And Daddy said, what do we have? And she said, only thing I see is alcohol. Amen. I believe I could have passed the Volkswagen that day when Daddy poured that alcohol in there. But it got better. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when the fire of God falls and there's a cleansing takes place, things will get better. Amen. They'll get God will purify. Mama used to take a needle and she'd take a lighter and light it and heat that needle. That fire would purify that needle. You didn't have to worry about digging that splinter out then. Amen. Just go get it, because that needle was not going to leave anything that would get infected in there. I tell you tonight, when the fire of God falls, He'll take out that which infects us tonight. Help us to be what we need to be for Him. Elijah, he had the power of God on his life. And God used him. Jesus had the power of God on his life. The fire not only cleanses, but the fire consumes. The Bible said one day, Brother Rick taught on it this morning, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And some of our works, the Bible said, is going to be like gold and silver and precious stones. You put that in a furnace, and the only thing that furnace will do is make it purer than it was when it went in. But if you put wood and hay and stubble into that furnace. It's going to go up in smoke. Amen. I believe not only does the fire cleanse, but my friend, the fire consumes. I believe, listen to me, in your life and in my life, the Bible said, let us lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. There's probably some things in our lives that need to be consumed, and God's power is all that'll get it done. Then the Bible talks about consecration. You remember over there at Pentecost. Let me just say this. Peter, my friend, had just come out of somebody tell me what kind of meeting that was. What kind of meeting was that they was having up there in that upper room? It was a prayer meeting. That is exactly right. And I'm telling you, there were people that come out of that prayer meeting consecrated. I remember just a little while back, I believe it was right after Christmas last year, when the Lord showed me that little truth about Mary. How did that bless my heart? Amen. Mary didn't just give birth to the Son of God. Mary didn't just raise the Son of God. Mary didn't just go to Calvary with the Son of God. But listen, Mary's gathered in the upper room with them. She's going on for the Son of God. Whatever she's got left, she wants to serve the Lord. And when the fire falls, people will be consecrated. When you get a bunch of consecrated people, then other people are going to get saved. God let 3,000 in one lick come into the family of God. Amen. Because the fire fell there on that day of Pentecost. Prayer and the fire. How many believes tonight we need to keep the fire burning? Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me, and I don't say this in a derogatory way. I'm just telling you the way I see it. I believe, Brother Ralph, good singing is good kindling. Say amen. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to build a fire without kindling. Anybody ever tried it? Say amen. I like good singing. It kindles a fire in my heart. Amen. But I tell you what I believe. I believe God wants us to see something else. Not only singing and not only preaching. Preaching can come and God can lay a log on the fire. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're waiting till Wednesday night for another log, the fire will probably be pretty dim. Help me now. That means we need to get our Bible down tomorrow. That means we need to pray tomorrow. That means we need to seek the face of God. Amen? And when we're doing that, I believe in bringing that spirit and bringing that attitude back into the house of God. I believe we can run the thieves off. That devil and his imps that's trying to steal from us. Amen. I believe we can have the victory. I believe we can see our young and saved. I believe we can see our grand young and saved. I believe we can see some visitors saved. Amen. And I'm begging you, church, tonight, let's make sure that God's house around here is a house of prayer. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me carefully. I like preaching. Listen to me. I don't have to be doing the preaching to like preaching. I like to preach. Don't get me wrong. My grandpa said there's a lot of men can preach better than I do, but not a man in shoe leather can enjoy it any more than I do. But I'm glad I'm not the one of them that just thinks I'm the only one that can do it. I like to get under preaching anywhere, every time I can. You say, preacher, why? Because it helps me. It helps me. It helps me. I believe God lined that up that way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'll tell you something that helped me the other night. There before the revival meeting, just gathering in a prayer room. I tell you, I just wish you could have been there. I'm telling you, there might have been just 20 men. But I'm telling you, God come in that little room. And God help me in that little prayer meeting. Amen. Just a 15-minute prayer meeting. I believe tonight God is telling us this day, on this Memorial Day weekend, the pleasant places in the wilderness, they can dry up. The pleasant place of the heart can dry up. The pleasant place of the home can dry up. And the pleasant place of the house of God can dry up. How many believes that is not His will? That is not His will. He wants our church, our hearts, and our homes to remain a pleasant place that others might know that He's in the house. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, it's so good to go to God's house and find out God's at home. Amen. But let me give you something. I'm not saying this to hurt. I'm saying this to help. When you switch from the Old Testament economy over to the New Testament economy, listen to me carefully. How many knows where the house is now? Right here is the temple. Can you believe that the likes of him, Brother Kurt, lives in the likes of you and me? That blows my mind. And you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to talk to him often. He wants this house to be a house of prayer. He wants this house to be a house of prayer. He wants this house to be a pleasant place. And he wants this house to be a pleasant place. When we leave here after a while, someone turns the lights off the last time for the day, walks out of those doors. This is just an old dead building. Brick and sheetrock and mortar and carpet and all that. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for our meeting place. We may be in basements before it's over with again, but I thank God we've got a meeting place. I thank God we've got air conditioning. I mean that tonight. I burn up in the air conditioning. I don't know what'd be going on if I didn't have that. Amen. I thank God for it. But I tell you, this building's not the main thing. This building is. And tonight, if the Lord of glory needs to come through this building and drive something out, wanted to say, Lord, do it. If that's what it's going to take, Lord, do it. If that's what it's going to take for the power to fall, then Lord, do it. I believe with all of my heart the Lord would speak to us. We just get willing. Get willing. Let's pray together. Father, I don't know who you're speaking to tonight, but God, I do believe you're speaking. Lord, there's someone here tonight and their house is empty. God, their house is empty. The Lord doesn't live in their house. He doesn't live in their temple. They have no purpose. They have no peace. And Lord, I pray tonight. Lord, I don't claim to know who that is. I just know, Lord, tonight you've said through your word, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God is God, then serve him. Trust him. And if Baal is God, then serve him. Lord, we know that in Elijah's day, you answered by fire. You approved of what was going on in Elijah's day. Lord, Elijah was a man that loved you. He had weaknesses. He had faults. He had failures. Lord, I'm so glad you can use men with weaknesses and faults and failures. God, if you couldn't, I don't know many that would be used in this generation. I pray, dear Father, tonight, the Holy Spirit of God, the one that came where I was that Sunday night in February in 1987, the one that helped me to overcome that fear of what people would say, what people would think, the one, Lord, that caused the fear of God to rise up in me and then relieved that fear when I came to Jesus. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit
That one that cleanses, that one that consecrates, that one that consumes. I pray tonight, Lord, He would do His office work in our midst. Our heads are bowed tonight. Brother Ralph, we've got to get a song tonight. Thank you, brother. I see you've already got one picked out. I believe this is someone's night. You all know I don't say things like that often. But the Lord has broken my heart. And I want to ask you, maybe it's a young man, maybe it's a young lady. It may be someone that I don't even have a clue was lost. But I know what it is for the Lord to impress my heart. And God said, how long halt you between two opinions? It's not a game. It's not a game. It's not a game. There's a heaven to gain. And there's a hell to shun. It's not a game. It's for real. Brother Mike and Brother Richard's brother, as far as they can tell, had a massive heart attack. Someone found him by the road, called 911, and they shocked him and got his heart beating again. But his brain was without oxygen way too long. They don't even know how long. I'm sure when that man turned the key on that vehicle, when Gary turned that key, I'm sure he intended to end up wherever he was headed. I'm telling you tonight, it's not a game. In a moment of time, we can breathe our last breath and be in eternity. For the children of God, heaven. For those that are on the wrong side of Calvary, hell. You say, preacher, can't you tell us about another place? Not scripturally. It's heaven or it's hell. It's Jesus or it's hell. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing. And I'm just going to ask you tonight to please be reverent. Please don't distract somebody around you. God might be speaking to their heart. I can't get away from the Sunday school lesson. You'd be accountable to God if you distracted somebody in this invitation. You'll give an account to God. It's so serious. Father in heaven, draw that one. God, you know who it is tonight. I pray, Lord, they would stop halting between two opinions. And they'd come tonight like the thief on the cross and just say, Lord, remember me. Like the publican in the parable, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I pray tonight. Lord, let the fire fall in someone's soul. God, there's not a one of us that was birthed into the family of God apart from the wooing and the working of the Holy Ghost. God, tonight work. Lord, I really do not know who it is. But God, you do. Work, Lord, in that individual's life. God, I pray in Jesus' name.